Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And we have breaking news here on News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. This week, the president has drawn attention to the subject matter in which last week we drew attention to, and that is the giant tech social media tycoons are basically censoring conservative voices on the internet through Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google. The president made these statements from the Oval Office this week.
I think Google is really taking advantage of a lot of people, and I think that's a very serious thing, and it's a very serious charge. I think what Google and what others are doing, if you look at what's going on at Twitter, if you look at what's going on in Facebook, they better be careful because you can't do that to people. You can't do it. We have literally thousands and thousands of complaints coming in, and you just can't do that. So I think that Google and Twitter and Facebook, they're really treading on very, very troubled territory, and they have to be careful. It's not fair to large portions of the population. Okay? Thank you very much, everybody.
That is President Trump from the Oval Office earlier this week. And last week on this program, we brought to you an investigative report by writer Art Moore of WorldNet Daily. That has been a website, a news website, that's celebrating their 20th year. But they've become a target of social media giants and basically drying up the pool of social feeds of their articles out on the internet. And WorldNet Daily has been targeted as other conservative voices have. Art Moore, of course, who's an investigative writer for WorldNet Daily, drew attention to a 50-page memo in which George Soros-backed groups were basically behind this new form of censorship coming out of California and, of course, the big tech giants. Now, breaking on the Drudge Report, in the last 24 hours is his second article, and we're going to have part two today as Art Moore is with us on the phone. Art, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you, Chris.
Well, you know, you really are on top of the wave here as what's happening. Things seem to be coming to a head. You know, in a little Twitter feed I put out the other day, quoting Winston Churchill, this may not be the end. It may not be the beginning of the end, but it might be the end of the beginning. And I think for the social media giants who basically are running their operation under the utility type agreement under the Congressional Act, that's going to come up for review. And that is basically that if you're a utility like the phone company and you can't be held liable to what somebody says in a phone conversation, no matter how heinous that is, you're providing a service. The internet and these social media platforms have operated under the same type of premise. But it seems as if this censorship that they are basically conducting and orchestrating, and your research is confirming what many have believed for some time, but it's only accelerating when we see that Dennis Prager and PragerU and his videos being taken down from the internet. Activist Mommy, who will be on the program again later on this show and talking about how her Facebook account with 600,000 followers were deactivated twice because they termed it to be hate speech or fake news, and they'll dub it as that. And for under that premise, they'll begin to restrict your account or deactivate it. Then, of course, there's Alex Jones. And let's not forget what Alex Jones was drawing attention to in the 2016 election, that there was going to be a coup attempt. People thought that was wild and eccentric and really outrageous. He was doing some other things. But basically, what we're finding in the Justice Department is just that, that there was a coup that was taking place with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. Don't worry, he's never going to become president. And Mr. Orr and the fake dossier. All of this is coming to light now. And of course, what do? They shut down one of the voices that were trying to draw attention to it back in 2016. Art, your thoughts?
No, I think you're right. I think you have to really understand that there is an overarching agenda here. And you mentioned the president coming out yesterday and really elevating this issue. And, of course, in doing that, causing all kinds of reactions. And some of the reactions I saw were along the lines of, what is he talking about? He's complaining about Twitter. He tweets every day. but really ignoring solid evidence, the countless cases, and you referred to some of them, but also some serious studies. And that's what I wrote about yesterday, was that this company called Can I Rank? It's a company that's really interested in creating software to optimize the searches. So in other words, to get your website, you know, closer up to the top on Google searches, they understand all the technical aspects of this. And they did a little study where they took some politically charged keywords like gun control, abortion, Black Lives Matter. They wanted to see if they searched on those words, what kind of articles would come up. And it was just overwhelmingly articles from the left. And so they thought this was really important because they put it in the context of elections, that they found that people tend to only pay attention to the top, you know, four or five search results that come up. And so when people are trying to find out, you know, information about a certain politician that's running in their local election or find out about their party, they're going to get a left-leaning perspective. And this company said, you know, that this is of concern when you have these huge corporations that are really monopolies, essentially controlling the flow of information.
Well, you know, one man's free discourse of ideas is another man's hate speech. I mean, the president is basically Googling information about himself, and he has to go through the second or third page to find on Google of the listings to actually find a favorable article is probably from Fox News or some other publication. So the president's getting to a place, like, wait a second, what's going on here? How are these people operating? Well, here are some of the headlines also that were up with your article, and of course, it was Trump warns Facebook and Google and Twitter. Regulation looms with a question mark. Google CEO refuses to testify at Senate hearing. I don't think that that's going to fly. I mean, even Zuckerberg came before Congress with the release of data and how they were using it. How does the Google CEO escape coming before Congress? I don't think he's going to be able to do that. Your thoughts?
No, I don't think so either. There may be a way he can send one of his acolytes, but I think what's clear is that already Congress has been trying to hold account these huge social media platforms, and right now we're faced with threats of regulation, and I think from a conservative small government standpoint, there's obviously some concern about government getting involved in private enterprise. But on the other hand, if you look back a century ago, there was the big breakup of Standard Oil, those monopolies. We had more recently the breakup of
AT&T.
Bob Bell.
Yeah, absolutely.
AT&T.
Yeah.
And look at the airline deregulation. I think there are ways to go about this that can help to enhance competition rather than put a stranglehold on private enterprise.
Well, Google obviously has been, they're basically the go-to. I mean, where we used to go for research, you would go to your library and you'd go through, you know, the little file drawer with all the cards and you'd look up a subject matter and go to the shelf. Now it's these kids using their phone and they just Google it. How many other search engines out there of worth right now? And so Google is kind of the bully. And at this point, they are now mind control at that. And that's what really is alarming here. I'm all for, they're getting a protection under the law by being used as a utility. But they're not just putting out there like we're providing the service. That's not exactly what's going on here. They're providing a service, but they're providing information and they're controlling that information as to what we receive. So if I want to receive positive articles about President Trump, what the administration is doing, I got to look four and five pages deep into the Google listings. That's not going to happen. I mean, this, that's why the president says, okay, enough is enough here. I also think, and what we referenced and talked about last week, is that the Federal Election Commission laws are being violated here. And we can talk about that where, you know, a candidate then buys an ad, both the Democrat and the Republican buy an ad, and they put it out on social media, Facebook or Twitter or YouTube. Then it's about when it begins to share. And that's where the problems arise, because then those participants on the internet who happen to be conservative, that their algorithm is basically lined up that they go to all the conservative websites like WorldNet Daily or FoxNews.com or, you know, the Drudge Report, then they're kind of putting in a category, I would say even almost in a trench or rut. And they'll limit the ability of those users to be able to share articles or for it to have any depth in their sharing. On the other side, where there's a leftist who's for, you know, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, or some of the left-wing, hard left-wing groups, you know, they have free course of the internet. They can share out there, you know, and it just keeps going, you know, but not so with the conservative user. Is that what you're finding in your study?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt, and the study I referred to shows that. There also was one that just came out by the Media Research Center, and you know, they've been around for a long time, a very highly respected group based near D.C., and they found the same thing. They've cited some, you know, some recent events that, you know, some of your listeners may know about. Project Veritas, this is the group that does the undercover video investigation.
Yes.
They caught Twitter staffers admitting on hidden camera that they had been censoring conservatives through this technique called shadow banning, which is basically, you know, you're suppressing the reach of a tweet without letting anybody know about it. It's done covertly. And They admitted, you know, that if you have words like God and America, then you may be more likely to be suppressed. So, you know, this is really, you know, candid stuff from these people that's very different from the canned statements that they put out to the public.
You know, reading from your other words, your article, it says, in other words, they have rigged for me and others so that almost all stories and news is bad for fake CNN is prominent. Republican, conservative, and fair media is shut out. Search results can impact elections. That part of your article, explain that to us.
Yeah, well, it's basically that people rely on the internet nowadays to be informed, and if they're only getting the left leaning view, the people in the middle who are really the ones who decide the elections, the so called independents that lean in different directions with each election, those are the people that these candidates are targeting. And if they're getting on their laptop and trying to, you know, really seriously find out what's going on, they're going to get just one viewpoint. And they in this study that this group did, they found that statistically it's entirely possible that the outcome of an election could be determined by search results.
Well, and not only that, the ads is how they're cycling on social media as well. So, for instance, we have a hotly contested governor's race here in Ohio between Richard Cordray, who served in the Obama administration, and then you have, as his consumer advocate, and then you have Mike DeWine, who was our attorney general. He also served as a U.S. senator in his past, and he was lieutenant governor back with George Voinovich. He served in Congress as well. The two of them are running for office, and there's ads that are going out there on Facebook for Ohio viewers. Well, I'm seeing a lot of Richard Cordray, you know, and I'm going to different search results, and I'm seeing a lot, whether Twitter, whether it's you know, an internet search, or even out on Facebook, I'm seeing a lot of Richard Cordray ads. Not so much for Mr. DeWine. In fact, what I'll see is that maybe somebody gets one of his ads and begins to share a little bit, and that's basically one or two users, and that's probably because we're connected. But I dare say that, you know, the majority of their viewers and or followers and mine are not seeing those ads. So we're already seeing this in real time here in Ohio, in the battleground state of Ohio, where there's this suppression of political speech. And it's the way in which they're conducting the way in which shares can be disseminated out through the networks. And they're controlling all that. We played last week at the opening about the Outer Limits. We control, you know, the vertical, the horizontal, the contrast, the, you know, it's kind of like the basically Orwellian view of controlling minds. That's what's going on here, folks, with the social media giants, tech giants, and basically out of Simi Valley in California, they're the ones who are basically controlling all this. Do they have anything really to be concerned with the president's statement? What might the president do, either by executive action or impressing Congress to take some action? And certainly, there's probably not enough time between now and the election for there to make a difference. What's your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think we have a very short time between now and then. But next week is when Congress is really going to be taking this up. There are members of Congress like Jim Jordan of Ohio, Mark Meadows of North Carolina, who have been really strong on this issue, and they really are going after it. But yeah, it's a long term issue, and I don't know if they're really easy solutions, but certainly just the threat of regulation, and it depends on what kind of regulation, because there are certain kinds of regulations that would be that Google and Facebook would be happy to have that would cut off any other competition, but it has to be done smartly. But I think that what President Trump is doing, if you look at the bigger picture, he's been going after the media since the beginning. You know, and just the way he uses this term fake news, which really makes them angry. He's now turning to another aspect of media, and I think from his bully pulpit, he's probably done more than anybody could do to bring us to where we are, so that people are aware that there's a problem. And you still have the detractors, but you have even today, you've got the New York Times that is reporting, talking to I guess some former Facebook workers and others who don't want to identify themselves for obvious reasons, saying that there's a political monoculture within Facebook. Then you had this engineer, James Damore, who famously charged that Google has this culture that he calls an ideological echo chamber, and he was fired because he spoke out. There's some light that's being shined on what's going on, and people are aware that these companies, at their core, are hard left. They're not just leaning left, but it's hardcore people from the left. And I might have mentioned before last time, but it's really interesting the perspective of George Gilder, who has written this new book called Life After Google, and he talks about how the founders of Google weren't just simply businessmen who wanted to make a lot of money. They saw themselves as missionaries, trying to create literally a new world order. And I won't go into depth now, but they really see themselves as ideological activists more than business people. They don't mind making a lot of money, obviously, but they really are motivated by this idea that they can change the world. And their vision for the world is I think ultimately a dystopian vision of the world, because as Gilder says, they're rooted in a kind of neo-Marxist idea of the world that ends up as a kind of collectivist government, very much moving away from the founding of our country as a place where we the people govern.
Freedom of the press was so important. It is the First Amendment to the Constitution. Our founders understood that when King George was suppressing speech and the right to be heard in court and to redress of grievances. They understood the importance of freedom of speech in the colonies, and that's what they fought for in the Revolutionary War, was that freedom. Our freedom is under assault now. Freedom of speech, to be able to have your voice heard in the public square. These people control now the avenues in which speech is being disseminated across, you know, our communities, our state, and even the nation. Look at this with a top Google news story. This is in line with what the president announced just the other day and drawing attention to the problem. The top Google news story, CNN declares Google News not rigged. I mean, there, there it is. You know, it's so big and fat of a target right now, you can hit it with a stick. But understand, Google also has eliminated competitors. Where they've got to be this behemoth that they are is that they have taken out competitors along the way, Art. And I remember all these, they either acquired them with money or they forced them out through brutal tactics, this kind of thing with legal pressure. They have taken out anyone that's challenged them along the way. So they, you know, it's like no one can question the Google. You know, it's almost like the God. And, you know, I know everyday users are saying, well, I try not to use that. Well, yeah, great. Yeah, try not to use it. It's like try not to use the highway from to get here to Columbus. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to use the highway. And in a very real way, you have to use Google. But, you know, what do you see developing here? Now, with Facebook, before, you know, someone had to remind me, before Facebook was MySpace. I mean, who remembers that anymore? So it does, these things do go in cycles. There can be, like you said, a deregulation that can cause more competition and have really freer access to the internet. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, Gilder, and I highly recommend his book, Life After Google, and the title implies there is life after Google, and what he says is that the fundamental philosophy of Google is flawed. It doesn't match reality. And I won't go into the details of that, but he envisions a new world of the internet that is more like how it began, where it was kind of the Wild West and there was this freedom of enterprise. And so he thinks one way or the other that, you know, there's going to be a dismantling of these big behemoth monopolies, and that's going to open up the internet. And part of the premise of that is creating a new kind of architecture, if you will, in which people will be able to maintain their own personal information, and there will be security. It has to do with, you know, this whole concept of, and I don't want to get too techie, but it's this idea of blockchains, which is the premise of Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency. But the point really being is that there's going to be a new way of doing business on the internet that will hopefully bypass Google. And if you think about it in terms of when the internet came about, we in the media were able to, and the people out there, you know, consuming media, were able to, you know, have this kind of bypass on the gatekeepers that for so long, you know, were telling us what we could learn about what's happening in Washington and what we couldn't. And it opened up the world, and hopefully it's going to happen again, where we're going to be able to freely tell people what's happening.
And freedom of information and the conservative dialogue is so important to get it out there to our fellow countrymen. Art, thank you for all that you're doing. Certainly, you've gotten national attention on the Drudge Report with your writings, and we appreciate all the work you do for WorldNet Daily. And folks, we encourage you to visit Art and the other writers there at worldnetdaily.com. Art, thanks for being my guest again. God bless you, sir.
Hey, my pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
And if you missed any of today's program, you can always log on to our website at ohioca.org and listen to our podcast. Thanks for listening. God bless. This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance, encouraging you to register and vote. We're also encouraging churches to conduct Citizenship Sundays now through October 7th, which is the voter registration deadline for this year. You can conduct a successful Citizenship Sunday by going to our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and download the helpful voter registration packet. Just click on the Register to Vote icon and 8 pages will load and you can print those off, which includes a voter registration form, application for absentee ballot, any voter guide request form of how many voter guides you will need for your church. Again, just go to our website at ohioca.org or Google Ohio Christian Alliance or phone 330-887-1922.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Okay, and continuing with our discussion on the censorship of conservative voices that's taking place with the tech giants of Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and others as well that have been stripping conservatives of their ability to communicate their message across the nation via the internet. With us on the phone is the activist mommy, also known as Elizabeth Johnson. And Elizabeth, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Chris. Thank you. It's an honor.
Well, you have been on the forefront of this, as obviously people have been watching. It's been shared on Facebook a lot as far as what we can do in sharing it about what has happened, because Facebook has stripped you of your ability to be able to share your video blogs on different topics. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Facebook has banned me on four different occasions, and the most recent was this week, which has kind of hit the media quite a bit. And they did not give me any indication of what I had posted, but they accused me of posting hate speech. I have no idea what post they're referring to. And they disallow me from, connecting with my over 600,000 followers. I'm not allowed to post or to even like or comment or answer anyone's private messages to me because apparently I've committed hate speech. Well, it just so happens that I have personal contacts inside Facebook, which most of you are not so privileged to have, which is what is so frustrating. You get an automated system, you're told you've committed hate speech, and even if you try to appeal it through the automated system, we all know we usually never hear anything back from Facebook. Well, my private contact sent it to their technicians, engineers, and he came back and apologized and said it was an error. And so it's just frustrating to me, though, to watch so many conservatives and Christians who are willing to say that homosexuality is sin, who are willing to say that transgenders need to get psychiatric or psychological counseling. Anything like that that goes against the Silicon Valley leftist agenda gets you a ban from Facebook, and it's really getting worse.
Well, your blog has really taken off. You, like you said, you have 600,000 followers. I've seen some of your posts that are literally had views into the millions. And so, obviously you become a target by those leftists in Simi Valley who want to silence your voice of conservatism and really your Judean Christian view as far as sexuality and the family and your Christian faith. Obviously, that is what has made you a magnet for their scorn, and they're using their censorship tactics to limit you on the internet and on Facebook and YouTube. Now, have you had similar, what kind of experiences have you had with YouTube?
YouTube will not allow me to monetize any of my videos because, they're controversial in nature, and they have said they will not monetized controversial videos, which is
and what hilarious. Kind of numbers were you getting as far as views on YouTube?
My most of my traffic is not on YouTube; it is on Facebook, and
I see.
Had over over 70 million video views on Facebook.
That's what I thought. So if you were to monetize that on YouTube, according to their, you know, their system, you would be getting large checks from them because they're able to sell that as far as
right.
views and through the those who want to advertise. And this is what happened with Crowder, Louder with Crowder. He also was restricted yes. and demonetized, and a couple of actually Second Amendment people that were basically doing instructional videos. My son tells me he's a Second Amendment enthusiast. He was ex-military. He likes to shoot. He's a gun enthusiast, and he is saying that some of the instructional video platforms were stripped or demonetized, and so they had to move elsewhere to basically continue what they do. And so this is what Mark Levin's been talking about. You're kind of the point of the spear on all this, Elizabeth. I mean, this is really shocking, quite honestly, what's happening in our country.
Yeah, well, you know, I just kind of have to laugh every time that I go on Facebook and I get one of these announcements that I have been banned. It's just kind of hilarious because I know that it's just going to blow up in their face. I know they're going to regret it. And this is the attitude that conservatives and Christians need to have. They need to learn to laugh at the left, and they need to learn to give them a little bit of a dose of their own medicine. And that's what I try to do. So when I get banned from Facebook, I write a press release and, you know, send it out to a few people. And normally the press ends up picking up the story, and it ends up being very embarrassing for the, you know, big tech CEOs who are clearly trying to silence our voices. You know, I can show you, and I have an inbox full of evidence showing you that very perverse, very violent act of hate speech, if you will, aggression, cyberbullying that take place against people on the right from people on the left are not banned on Facebook or Twitter, or Instagram, which is now owned by Facebook, but they are banned if it is people on the right committing those acts against people on the left, or not even committing hate speech, they get banned. Like, you cannot use the word tranny. If you use the word tranny, you will immediately get a ban.
Well, and your posts have been very popular among conservatives. In fact, Franklin Graham was reposting your piece on Teen Vogue and the horrendous and insidious nature of the material they were putting in Teen Vogue that you were pointing out. And you were burning the magazines in a fire ring in the backyard and said, this is garbage. This is where it's going. And lots of folks agreed with you and with the 600,000 followers, but all the millions of views that you got, you're in good company. I mean, if Franklin Graham is sharing your material, Elizabeth, I mean, that puts you in good standing. Also, PragerU, they're also being discriminated against and they're being blocked. Mm-hmm. Dennis Prager, who also broadcasts on the Salem Networks, you know, these are good people, folks, and that's who they're censuring. This is not hate speech. They're calling our fellow Christian brothers and sisters the haters, when basically those on the left are the haters in this regard. They don't want the truth of what the Bible says about sexuality out there, anything that's counter to the radical homosexual movement. You know, Elizabeth, God bless you for what you're doing. The Lord is blessing, I know, and you are first and foremost a mother, and you're doing a great job raising those kids and that wonderful family that you and your husband have, and then you're taking this time to really try to be a voice in the culture. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm humbled. It's just an honor to be used of any way in the Lord to stand for righteousness and rise up against the evildoers and dismantle the lies of, you know, the radical feminists, the lies of Islam and abortion and homosexuality. It's just an honor to be used.
Well, I know that you're speaking all over the country, and thank you for taking a few minutes with us today. We're really privileged and honored for you to do that. But tell folks how they might reach you now using some of these same social platforms as it is. So where can they reach you?
Sure. I am back up and running on Facebook. Just search Activist Mommy in your search engine there, and activistmommy.com is my website. So please follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And if you'll sign up to get my emails every day, we are writing blogs on stories that the media will not cover. We are exposing what's going on the left with radical sexualization of our children, So subscribe to my emails on activistmommy.com, and you'll get some really, really good content and information there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Elizabeth. Appreciate so much. And say hello to your good husband for us as well. We send our best wishes to you both.
Oh, I'll do that, Chris. Thank you. God bless you for all you do.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Again, that's Elizabeth Martin. She is the Activist Mommy. And again, you can follow her on the social platforms as it is right now. With us also on the phone is Linda Harvey, who is the president of Mission America. She also has her own weekly radio program, and she is out there on the forefront as well. Linda, welcome to the program.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And you were hearing our fellow sister in the work, all that she's faced. And I know the kind of censorship that your group has faced, the articles you also contribute to WorldNet Daily. In fact, we had one of your fellow writers on with us, Art Moore, just earlier in the program, and he's written a series of articles. Tell us a little bit about your experiences on social media and some of the things you've put out that have been limited or squelched or basically censured.
Yeah, Chris, you know, it's been, for me, it's been a little more subtle because I'm not doing videos and so on like Elizabeth is. But my experience with WorldNet Daily has been very, very strange lately in that the shares and all of that on Facebook and even on the site itself on my WorldNet Daily, when I write columns, have gone way, way down, and I know that they're being targeted.
That's right.
People will write to me and say, "Hey, I can't even click the Facebook button," and then it will be activated again, and then they can. It's like they're playing with it. Another thing that will happen on WorldNet Daily is my column. I'll have a column posted, and it will show a certain number of shares, and I'm thinking, "Oh, this is moving along pretty well." And check back in the next day, and it's gone to zero. The counter has, and I ask WorldNet Daily. They have so many staffing issues right now because they need money. They need donations, folks, because they are trying to fight against this, and it's very much an uphill battle for them. But that's just weird behavior.
Because of a website today, let's talk about that, because a website today is literally fed through the social networks. I mean, it's not like it was, and you and I have been involved in this work for a while. And so when I started with the Christian Coalition of Ohio, now the Ohio Christian Alliance, back in 2002, basically having email and a website, you know, that's what you were doing. And if you had a radio program or got on radio, that was a great thing to do. And then, of course, your snail mail. Basically, you put out a newsletter. Well, obviously, right. In those 18 years, things have progressed, or 16 years, things have progressed. Then came Facebook and some of the social media accounts, and you know there was other ways to communicate on the internet. And then it becomes Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and YouTube. And so then to become kind of proficient at these things is a science in and of itself. Then to find out that they're limiting you. The little man behind the curtain, or the little woman behind the curtain, they're the ones at the tech giants at their desks that are saying they're seeing your material, that basically you're drawing a light that the radical homosexual movement wants to indoctrinate our kids in the schools with homosexual-friendly educational materials through sex ed. You draw attention to that, and they get offended, and they want to shut you down. You also talk about...
That's right.
How the day of silence at high schools, and this is what Linda does with Mission America, and she draws attention to that, how they're trying to indoctrinate our youth into the homosexual and LGBTQ lifestyle, and when she draws attention to that and how that's being promoted in the public schools, they shut you down. I mean, you know, this is what is insidious about this, is that they're squelching, and you know what Art said, he says, I'll say this, Chris, he said, I do think it comes down to a common denominator, those who are the God haters. I mean, a lot of these folks that are conservative are Christian, and it's a Christian worldview in which they're espousing that's being limited. And so, you know, folks, it's time to wake up. I mean, we are living in Orwellian type environment here, and it's only going to get worse. Linda, what are you hearing among some of your activist friends and writers, and what are they talking about and bloggers about this?
Well, and like everyone is talking about this being limited on Facebook and in the social media. And one of the big things that started this, Chris, that I think they always point back to is being labeled a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. One of the other things that happened to me and to Mission America is that Symantec, the antivirus software, They have a warning screen that comes up for any of their clients who happen to be, you know, many of them are on our e-newsletter list.
I see.
And they will get this warning. So I'm always getting these emails from people from Symantec. Hey, you know, my antivirus people are saying that this is not a safe site. It's a totally safe site.
Oh.
And Symantec uses I've been in dialogue with them. They quote the Southern Poverty Law Center that has labeled me a hate group. You know, it just all is a vicious little circle where their libelous and unverifiable labeling ends up costing you. And of course, I'm not the only one. There's a whole group of other conservative sites that have gone to bat, and some of them are suing Symantec for that. So, you know, it's just that kind of stuff just keeps going.
That's right.
It's like a round robin.
Right. And of course, that strikes fear in people. You'll get an email from say, oh, this is spam, or this has dangerous spyware,
right,
or something like that in it, or the threat of virus. And so they're tagging you with that. It's like they're making you a leper out there on the internet. And so people won't open your stuff, and they won't look at it and say, oh, this is coming from an unsafe site. And it's just... That's not what's true. It's Linda Harvey of Mission America trying to educate you on the latest of what's happening with the radical homosexual movement and how they're trying to indoctrinate our kids and push their agenda more and more into the public realm. And folks, you got to wake up to this. So what's happening here, whether it's a pro-life group that's, basically shining a light on the dark abortion industry in this country and Planned Parenthood, they face the same kinds of censorship and have for years. Our good friend Mark Harrington with Created Equal and the educational work that he does with all the pro-life activity, he has faced this kind of discrimination as well on the internet as far as getting your message out. And so, you know, this is what's happening. I mean, when you see Dennis Prager, actually, you mentioned one of the groups, Act for America, they've also faced this when they tried to draw attention to radical Islam in this country. And it was Brigitte Gabriel put out the same kind of message that big tech companies are using their power and influence to censure the conservative voice. Act for America has experienced this firsthand over the last few weeks. So this is becoming more repetitive, and it just seems like they're ramping up their game. There were new news items today on Facebook advertising that they've hired new people to seek out fake news. So anything that they want to label, Linda, fake news is now going to become the target.
Exactly. That's the issue. You know, that if you speak up against, it's basically the big three as I see it, against homosexuality, against abortion, and against Islam. They've got you. I mean, they've got you in their sights, and they're going to go after you. Because WorldNet Daily did such an incredible job over the year before the 2016 election, and they really suffered with this. They started being targeted deliberately after the beginning of 2017. And it's George Soros-funded Media Matters. They're the ones that have put this together, that has said, you know, hey, go after all of these and label them fake news. And, you know, so we have to stand up and say, no. We know right where this is coming from, and people have to support these organizations. I will put out a column on WorldNet Daily, which will only get like a 25 or 30 shares, and the same exact column on LifeSite News, which so far has escaped that, will have 1,200 shares. So it's amazing. It's like stunning. Like what? You know, because WorldNet Daily has a huge reach, but they're being slowed down, slow walked through the tech giants because they were so successful.
Other groups have talked about Twitter has basically eliminated some of the followers. I have seen this in the last week where I saw 10 less followers all at once. I'm like, whoa, wait a second, what's wrong with this? You know, it's like a spike going down. And of followers on Twitter. And then someone says every account now has an average of 7 to 10 where they have just gone in and taken these people off. Now, they could probably do algorithms with those Twitter followers to know what their likings are. And if they see them as a borderline type moderate person but yet is following you, if they think that you're going to influence them and your conservative views, they're probably eliminating those people from following you so that you no longer have an influence on them. Linda, this is the kind of uphill battle we're fighting.
Right, right. Well, they could also be eliminating people who have a bunch of other followers where it could be passed along. They don't want things to go viral. They want to limit anything that potentially could go viral among conservative voices. And so people need to get out there and deliberately go to these websites and share things and pass it along in email. We have to do this leading up to this election, especially because that they're really going to go after that. They're going to limit the number of shares and this information needs to get out there.
Absolutely. Hold it right there. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with Linda Harvey of Mission America as we're talking about censorship of conservative voices. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back. We're talking with Linda Harvey, the president of Mission America. She is also a contributor of WorldNet Daily, one of the groups that actually has been targeted, as well as Linda's own group, and she also has her own weekly radio program. Linda, as you've been going out and talking to people across the country, and I know that you get to conferences where you're able to share what you've been reporting on as far as the radical homosexual movement, what are people telling you about some of the frustrations of getting their message out as well for their groups?
You know, I think the biggest issue, of course, is now this is not simply the message getting out. It's motivating people to act and, of course, voters to vote. But they have to be able to distinguish between genuinely fake news and truth out there, and they won't be able to. I mean, there's such a concern that so much of the American public is being manipulated. And we see that in the media. We see that with the millennials. If you only get your news from the same few sources and from the comedians late night and your few friends on Facebook, you know, our Christian kids are not getting information. They really believe the narratives that are out there that conservatism is full of racism and sexism. And, you know, they really believe this. We have to continue to be persistent and do what we can. But that's the concern, is the manipulation of truth and the manipulation of the electorate.
Well, that's right. And, you know, this is just a time in which people have to really, sort the wheat from the chaff, as it were. And it is difficult. And folks, we encourage you to go to some conservative website to obtain your news. If you're on the internet, you might want to go to foxnews.com. The Drudge Report. The Drudge Report basically is a way to go through a series of articles and topics and pick out those which are of interest to you. But there's some other conservative websites like worldnetdaily.com, which actually covers news like no other group. CBN also is still doing some really good work as they showcase this problem with social media giants basically censoring conservative voices. And they highlighted Elizabeth Martin, the activist mommy, in their recent publication. So these are some sources that you can go to that are reliable. There's a number of voices also on the internet, of course, Dennis Prager, but there was one of them again, Linda, where here he is. He is like you and I are on the Salem Network, radio network, but he is also being limited out there on social media of PragerU and the YouTube. So, of course, he has a lawsuit filed. I think they picked on the wrong guy. In the end, they might really lament that they started this whole process. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I'm really sorry for all these folks that are being censored. I do agree with a lot of things that Dennis Prager does. One very problematic video that he put out was with Guy Benson, who is a so-called gay Christian on Fox News. And I have a history with him, and a lot of us do. Sandy Rios and others who, you know, he just revealed himself as being homosexual. Well, Prager gave him a platform. And there was a private call. A number of people took Dennis Prager to task for that. And he's listening, and hopefully he will change his mind and take down the platform for Guy Benson. But a ton of other things that he puts out are wonderful. And we need to, even if we don't agree with everything, like I would never agree with Alex Jones on a lot of stuff, but InfoWars, but I do think that that stuff needs to be up there. There are some things that are valuable, and we need to support this out there, because we just can't go this route. We just can't let this happen.
We cannot, and there can't be. And of course, there's a whole violation of campaign federal laws that the social giants are going to find themselves on the wrong side of the law if they continue with this kind of policy going into this election. Linda, thanks for joining me today. God bless you for all you do.
Well, God bless you, Chris. You're a real light in the state of Ohio, so God bless you for all you've done and all you will do.
Thank you. That was Linda Harvey, president of Mission America. And again, if you missed any of today's program, you can always follow us on our website at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Hopefully it comes up for you and you're able to download the podcast as well. And please do tell a friend, and we all share that news with them as well. Thanks so much for joining. God bless. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.